The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Joining us on the line, Rolien Marks. Rolien, how are you this morning?
A little bittersweet. It's been quite an incredible week, but it's going to end on a very, very difficult note for many of us as we prepare for the 3-week upcoming lockdown.
Yeah, it's a very hard way, very, very hard way to go into a festival, especially this time of year, especially when Israel has done so much better over the last couple of weeks or months. It's just deteriorated to a point that it's just absolutely unimaginable. And now once again, Israel is going to a very, very hard lockdown. Just tell us what people are feeling.
People are feeling very frustrated, very angry, and very, very emotional. It's not just Rosh Hashanah that we're going to be locked down for. It's also Sukkot, and there's nothing more beautiful than seeing all the Sukkot on people's apartments and around the country. It's such a time of celebration, and that we're not going to have this year. Or the festival of Simchat Torah, where certain parts of the country, roads are blocked off so that people can dance in the streets with the Torah. On Yom Kippur, we have our little ones, our young ones on their bicycles, their skateboards, out in the streets while their parents fast or at shul. And I don't think we're going to see any of that this year. We've ended on such a high with this incredible signing of the Abraham Accords and the great expectation that we have for more to join our growing circle of peace. But for Israelis, this lockdown is particularly painful, and a lot of recrimination, a lot of blame being pointed at the government and various sectors of society. Last night, Prime Minister Netanyahu took to the TV. He addressed the nation. He said that, there's a possibility we might have even stronger restrictions, even though this morning the 500-meter restriction has been lifted to 1 kilometer. The Prime Minister also appealing for everybody to obey the lockdown laws. We had the President Rivlin on Wednesday night talking to the nation in an incredible, incredible speech, not only appealing to everybody to please observe this and not blame any other sector of society, but also apologizing for his disobeying the corona lockdown laws during Pesach, and for some of the other leaders that did the same. And I think that speaks volumes as a leader if you can stand before your people, especially at this time of the year, and say, I am sorry, please forgive me.
Absolutely. Well, when I speak to my son in Israel, I can just hear the level of frustration, anger, disappointment, sadness that he's feeling. And I can just imagine how that gets translated into anger at government, because it really has been appallingly handled, hasn't it?
It has. And then I look at other countries who are also going through their second surge and also kind of at a loss for how do we navigate this. So, while we do hold our leadership responsible, and we must hold our leadership responsible, I certainly don't envy any leader in any position of power for having to deal with this. This is quite unprecedented in our modern history. How do we deal with a global pandemic? What the health ministry here are trying to do is trying to keep open the parks and the gyms in the parks so that people can get out. They say they worry about the state of people's mental health, which is a very, very serious concern, and one that we should take just as seriously as the virus is the effect that it is having
on all of our
mental health. I mean, a huge effect. I mean, tonight, even though we're locked down and there's only two of us, we've made the decision in my home that we are going to have a very special dinner. We're going to cook. We're going to set the table. We're going to make sure that all the brachot are said, that we really welcome this year in Yeah. With meaning.
Yeah, because it's particularly hard for somebody like you, Rolene, who doesn't have family in Israel, but your friends and your community and your it's very much part of your daily life in Israel.
Absolutely, your friends become your family when you make Aliyah, especially if you don't have family. And on this note, I just want to say a special thank you to Sandringham Gardens. To the chef for all that you do in making sure that my father, my family is kept safe in this time. And I think that we cannot say it enough, the gratitude and the thanks that all of us here in Israel who have family in Sandringham Gardens or other places maintained and managed by the chef and by the community there in South Africa, thank you for all that you are doing in order to keep our family members safe.
Absolutely. I think that is something very, very important and something that we all, both in South Africa and outside, should be and are grateful for. All right, let's just take a look back at the Abraham Accords, because, of course, it was a very, very big week. We spoke about it on the show. Where do you think that this is going? I, of course, was in the midst of a battle here in South Africa around people that didn't even want to report on it and defended not reporting on it, saying it was a non-event. We had people that trying to bring all sorts of other things into it. Give me your perspective from a journalist's point of view, from a media point of view, how you saw this reported around in Israel and around.
Well, first of all, I was following the interactions that you were having on Twitter, and I was quite horrified at the level of dismissal, but also the inability, and maybe it's a global thing, to not have the skills to look at the bigger picture. Some people, of course, can't dismiss or break personalities from accords, and some people are saying it's no big deal. From my perspective, and this is my honest perspective as an analyst, as a journalist, just because it's called the peace accord doesn't mean it's not a peace accord. You don't have to end aggression to forge peace. And even though Israel and the Bahrainis and the Emiratis have never been in a situation of war, we've got to look at it in a bigger context. We've always looked at the conflict in terms of the Arab-Israeli conflict. And the conflict with the Palestinians fits in to that bigger picture. And by signing these accords, and I firmly believe that there are peace accords, because like I just said, you don't have to end an aggression to make peace. But for Israel, who has largely been maligned and boycotted and ignored by the Arab world and in many cases condemned by the Arab world, even if we're not in a state of war or hostility like we are with Syria or we are with Yemen, this is still a peace accord. It brings formal recognition to Israel's place in the region and in the world, to our existence. We talk about a warm peace when we talk about the Abraham Accords. We talk about the levels of cooperation in many spheres. And what I have noticed is the amount of jobs being offered on social media and around people starting to send out requests for people maybe in sales or various other criteria for jobs between Israel and the UN and the UAE, which really, really warms my heart. Very, very important and not discussed enough is the fact that the Emiratis have made the decision that within their schools they are going to educate about peace with Israel being a good thing. This is a major, major change to the narrative that we have seen coming out of the Arab world. How it plays out in international bodies like the UN and others is going to be very, very fascinating moving forward. But very, very telling, if we're looking at these Abraham Accords, is the effect that it has on the Palestinians. Whatever the experts over the last 72 years, leaders in Washington, Europe, other places have been trying to do, they obviously have not accomplished it. And maybe this is the time for a great disruptor like Trump and his administration. Very telling that if you read through the actual documents of the accords, they allude to a solution for the Palestinians, a just solution, but there is no mention of two states or East Jerusalem or borders or settlements or anything else, any of the other language that we have seen over the years, and with the Arab League failing to condemn these accords and the language we are now seeing coming from the Emiratis, the Bahrainis, and I think soon to follow with other states if President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu are right, we are going to see a major, major shift in the region. Yes, it's also about forming alliances against Iran, and that's very, very important. We will inevitably at some time or the other have a regional face down. It looks like the movement is in that direction and we're recognizing it, but we cannot underscore the value and the importance of these peace accords. And it's just regrettable that South Africa and the South African media cannot see the significance and
I don't think it's cannot, because I think cannot lets them off the hook. I'm using the word chooses not to. It's a very, very deliberate, and I think that's why I face the level of pushback and hostility that I did, because it doesn't sit comfortably. Because the truth is there to be seen, which means that if you want to deny it, you've got to push back really hard. So I don't think cannot see. I think choose not to see what it's about.
Well, I do have to agree with you there, and I'm proud of you, like a mom, Howard. I'm seriously proud of you for forcing it into the conversation, because it lends to two things. It's the unwillingness of South Africa to look at the bigger picture, and the willingness of South Africa to align with countries and entities like Hamas, a terror organization who managed to fire 13 rockets on us during the signing. It shows you just where their mindset is, but you've also posed a very, very important challenge to people out there, and is that become better media consumers, people. Don't just take everything at face value. Ask the important questions, and that's exactly what you have done.
Yeah, it just has to be, everything does need to be interrogated, and even if people are made uncomfortable, as long as you do it in a polite and a respectful way, then those conversations need to be had. None of us are going to die from those conversations, and nor are the people that are being aggressive. And my approach had to be to say, well, look, I know that you've got 100,000 Twitter followers or 300,000 Twitter followers, and you doing your best to demean what I'm saying, but the reality is I actually don't care. As long as I'm standing on the right side of intellectual authenticity, then we can have this discussion. As long as I don't resort to any form of personal attack or abuse, then we just need to have these conversations, even if they become uncomfortable for us. It's not easy, but we do have to do it, and I guess that's our job in the world. Ronnie Marks, so this is all, unfortunately, that we have time for. Wishing you all a Shana Tova, a happy, healthy year. I know that it's not a particularly easy time for you in Israel. Our thoughts are with you, and I do hope that it is as best as it can possibly be.
Amen. Shana Tova, everybody. And as I said yesterday, as Israel is inscribed in the book of peace, may we all be inscribed in the book of life and good health.
Amen.